Well, to say I'm excited is an understatement. I just want to thank God for the opportunity to preach this morning. And if you want to go ahead and head that way, we'll be in the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 4. Thank you, worship team. That was great. Thank y'all for that. Thankful for another opportunity to share God's word. We'll be in Matthew chapter 4. This morning, title to this morning is this: What does Satan do? And you'll see when we read here in just a minute, you'll see that adversary in action, and we'll see how he tried to tempt Jesus, and we'll see how he tries to tempt us, and we'll see how we can apply that to our life. But I'd ask you to stand with me this morning. We read God's Word and we'll reverence it. We'll read these 11 verses. Matthew 4, we'll pray and we'll just let God have the service. So, Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Bible says, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered." I bet. "And when the tempter came, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him into the holy city, set him up on the pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone." He's clever. "Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Verse 8, And again the devil taketh him into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and said unto him, all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and said unto him, All these things will I give thee, thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then said Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him." Pray with me if you would. Lord, I just thank you for the opportunity we have to read this sacred word, Lord. It is living, it is active, Father. It's nothing of us, it's all God, and I thank you for that. And I pray you'd speak this morning. I pray, God, you'd open up the windows of heaven and pour out your Spirit upon us. God, I pray you'd guard my throat and guard my thoughts. And I pray, God, you'd just take anything that's not of you. God, I pray you'd just give me what is you. Father, I'd ask you to open the ears of the hearer, and as the Bible teaches us, open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things out of your law. And Father, I pray we'd be convicted, and I pray we would grow. We love you, Lord, and we thank you, and it's all in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. What does Satan do? I'm going to give you a news flash, and I'm sure you already know it. In your walk with Christ, you will learn after a short period of time that you don't have to go to Satan for a battle. Amen? Satan's coming at you. If I'm going towards Satan, I've got things wrong. But if Satan's coming at me, man, I'm doing okay. I thank God for that. I thank God that Satan is after a child of God. And you say, JD, that's crazy. Now, the Bible teaches me that's what he does. That's what he done with my Savior. And you look here in Matthew chapter 4 that Satan comes to Jesus to try to tempt him. And this is what I wrote down for my walk. You don't have to go to Satan. Satan is coming to you. Hey, you hear me this morning? Satan's coming to your door every single day. The Bible teaches us that Satan's coming. I'll give you a few examples. We look at a great man by the name of Job. You know it in Job chapter 1. I think it's in verse 6. The Bible teaches us that God came to Job. And then Satan came to Job. Verse 6, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also with them. You don't have to look far. Another great example in the Word of God's in Genesis, at the fall, Genesis chapter 3. You see what happens when Satan comes to Eve. It says in verse 1, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said unto the woman. The woman didn't say nothing to him. He came to them. So that gets us into this passage in Matthew 4. Satan is coming, and I'm going to give you a few things. Number one, Satan comes very quickly. It doesn't take long after you get born again that Satan's coming. It doesn't take long after you give your life to Jesus, get on fire for God, and the devil comes knocking. If you look with me in chapter 3, right here toward the end of chapter 3 of Matthew, you're going to see here that the Bible teaches that Jesus had just been baptized, and the Father had just stepped down and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And we get to the next verse, chapter 4, verse 1. It says this, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. The devil is not a slow adversary. He's coming in a hurry. Coming fast, coming to you, coming to your house, coming to your family. And it's your job, it's my job to figure out what we're going to do with him, because the Bible teaches he comes quickly. I just think about this. Somebody gives their life to Jesus, man, they get fired up for God. Boom, the devil comes knocking. You might be slipping out for a few days or a few months or a few years, and God calls you back into a right standing with him. You rededicate your life, and as soon as you walk out of the church, boom, the devil is coming. I know that, and you know that. You don't have to step far out in the world, and Satan is going to come quickly. And I want to give a little encouragement to that. Yes, Satan comes quickly, but I want you to know something. God allowed it to happen. That's what the Bible teaches here. Look at me in verse number 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. God allowed Satan to come. I'm going to give you something this morning. God's going to allow Satan to come to you. And you're like, why is that? It's because he wants you to grow. He wants you and he wants me to grow. If it was easy all the time, we wouldn't be very strong. I thank God that Jesus allows the devil. Because when Jesus was in the wilderness, he was hungry and he was wanting God. And then the devil came. And I asked this question to myself, why does God allow Satan to come? He comes so that we may grow. I'll give you a verse of Scripture here, James chapter 1, verse 2 through 4. The Bible teaches us, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. When you get real with God, Satan gets real with you. And he wants you to fall, but God wants you to grow. There's your difference. Both of them come, man. The Lord comes into my life when I ask him to save me, but boom, the devil comes after. Man, the Lord wants me to grow, but the devil wants me to fall. Who am I going to let win in my life? Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Satan comes quickly. Look with me in verse number 3. You'll see also that Satan is coming when you're weak. Verse number 3. Well, let's look at verse 2. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. Verse 3. And when the tempter came to him. Boy, he didn't come right after he got baptized, did he? He didn't come right after the Father had just stepped out and said, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. You know when he came? When Jesus was weak. You know when he's coming to my doorstep? When I'm weak. When it's been a hard day. When something didn't go my way. That's when the devil comes knocking. Man, if you're on fire for God, I thank God for that. But the day you get weak, the devil comes knocking. He did this with Jesus. He came knocking when he was hungry and he wanted food. And he said in verse 3, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." And I wrote this down, man, this is life. If I'm in the world and I'm trying to win a battle, I don't go after the strong guy. I go after the weak guy. Me and Holly and a few of our friends have been getting lately into the sport of hockey. I know that's not very popular here, but been watching a lot of hockey. Went to a hockey game, and what's different about hockey is they let you fight. They just get the knuckles, you know, going after somebody on the rink during the game. And what's funny about that is the folks who are the weakest get whooped the most. Man, they'll get crushed up into the wall. Man, they'll get their arm. They'll start getting punched at. Why? Because they're the weak link. I know if Brother Eric Carruth played hockey, I wouldn't fight him. You know why? It's a strong man. But I'm going to tell you something. When you're weak, get ready. Why? Because when I'm weak, man, I'll just let anything come in. When I'm weak, I'll just let anything come in, and I'll let anything happen, and I'll get weak, and I'll get depressed, and I'll get discouraged, and that's not where God wants me to be. How do I get strong? That's through the God that I serve. And I'll give you what the Bible teaches us here is the devil is coming when I'm weak. And I wrote this down, Satan is coming if you're weak today. Today. Let me give you something. Satan comes when you're weak. If Satan is coming when you're weak, go to God when you're weak. Go to God if you're weak this morning. Don't go to the devil. He's already there. Go to the Savior. Go to Jesus. You look at this. The Bible teaches that's what I ought to do. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, if you remember, the Apostle Paul was weak. And he went to Jesus. The Bible teaches us, verse number 7, lest I should be exalted above measure, 2 Corinthians 12, it's right here. Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. The messenger of Satan, there he is, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. You know what happened there? He's weak. He wants it gone, so he's going to God. Look what happens right here. Verse number 9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Verse 10, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. There's a fact of life here is that everybody's going to get weak at some point. Just something happens in life, you're going to get weak. But I want to challenge us as a local body church to go to the Savior. Go to Jesus. Because when I go to Jesus, if I'm weak, when I'm with Him, I'm still strong. He will be my strength. And I thank God for that. So I can go to Him when I'm strong, but I ought to go to Him when I'm weak because the Satan is coming when you're weak. Look what it says here in Matthew 4:4. But He answered, being Jesus, and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He went to God. He went to the Savior. He went to His Lord. He went to God when He was weak. And if that's where my Savior goes, that's where I ought to go. I ought to go to the Lord when I'm weak, because Satan's coming when I'm weak. I looked at these verses, the temptation of Jesus when Satan comes. And I wrote down this, mankind does not live by physical food. Mankind will live when they get spiritual food. I'm not talking about live. I'm not talking about getting through the day. I'm talking about live forever. That's what living is. This is temporary. This is temporary. You're temporary here. Do you want to live for eternity? Don't go to physical things. Go to spiritual things. Go to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, because when you go to Jesus, you will live. The Bible tells me in Acts 17, verse 28, for in Him we live and move and have our being. And that's where I ought to live, is with the Jesus that I serve. The devil's coming, there is an obvious statement there. He comes very quickly, and he's coming when you're weak. And my job as a child of God is go to the Lord, because when I'm there, He makes me strong. We'll move on here in our scripture in Matthew 4. The devil comes quickly. He comes when you're weak. Look with me in verse number 6. The devil comes to make you doubt God. To make you doubt God. Verse number 6. Said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Then Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And we'll read on in just a few minutes, but I want to say something. The devil knows the Bible. Man, one of the things when we went a couple months ago over that judgment house with Brother BJ is that devil was in there in hell at the gate of it, and he was quoting scripture. You know why? He knows it. He used to be in heaven. He used to be in the presence of an almighty God until he fell. And you know why? Sin. Pride. And what I learned by that, what I learned by this scripture, is the devil is real. And that's something that a lot of people may not believe. Do you know there's a lot of people in the world that don't believe the devil's real? Man. I guess my only advice is to get born again. Oh my goodness. Because I was on the devil's side when I was lost, so I didn't really think he was real. I didn't really think he was powerful. I didn't really think that he had anything in my life until I got saved. And guess what happened? The devil got real in my life. And he's going to get real in your life when you're following Jesus. Because we look at this passage, he comes at the Savior, and he comes at us to make us doubt God. We'll finish. Verse 8, excuse me. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and said unto him, all these things will I give thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thou serve. This tactic that the devil uses is called doubt. And he wants you and he wants me to doubt God's word. That's his number one job. And it's not a new tactic. It didn't just happen in today's society. It happened in the garden. Remember the story? Remember what happened when Eve came and Satan was there and Satan talked to him first? He said in Genesis chapter 3, he said, did God really say? Remember that? Did God really say you shouldn't eat? What is that? It's called doubt. I want you to get a little bit of doubt in your mind that God is not who He says He is. That's a tactic. It happens today. It happened yesterday. It happened yesteryear. It happens every single day. And the devil tries to make Jesus doubt God Himself. It says in verse number 3, he tries to doubt God's provision. Verse 3 it says, and when the tempter came unto him, thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made ready. He wanted to doubt God's provision. He wants you to doubt that God is going to provide for you. Jesus was hungry. Jesus hadn't eaten 40 days. And so Satan comes and he says, well, God's not going to provide. Why don't you just provide for yourself? Boy, that's where we get messed up, ain't it? Well, when God, when, oh, that's good. When the Lord wants me to wait, and I just go ahead, boy, you think about Abraham. Well, that just came to my head. You think about Abraham, how God promised him a child, but Abraham and Sarah decided they were going to take matters in their own hands, and here come Ishmael from a different woman. Why? Because they didn't wait. Bible tells me, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And when I wait, the devil will come at me. He came to Jesus. He wanted Jesus to doubt God's provision. Let me give you a verse. Philippians 4, verse 19. The Bible teaches me, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Boy, that's something you need to grab a hold of. That's something I need to grab a hold of. Boy, when it gets hard and when I'm waiting and I want God to provide, but I just want to go and I just want to get ahead of him, I need to wait because God's going to provide. Boy, I think about our life center. Boy, I just don't tell you how awesome we're going to have that thing one day. How blessed we are to have it in the plans and have the plans here and have somebody preparing it for us. But I'm called right now to wait. That building's not getting put up today. They're not going to work on it tomorrow. It's going to take time. It's going to take God being in front. I thank God that he's in front of this church. I want God to be in front of my life. I want God to be in front of every single decision I make, no matter how big, no matter how small. This morning we talked about in Sunday school about how Peter let Jesus use his boat to teach. Something so small. Peter had no option. He said, Lord, he said, I'll let you use my boat. And because of that, Peter's life changed forever. Small decision. And God changed his life. And this is what I want us to grab. Satan's coming to make us doubt God's provision. Satan's coming to make me doubt God's protection. Verse number 6 in Matthew 4. He said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. Putting yourself in danger for God to move is not what God wants you to do. Putting yourself out there, Satan wanted Jesus to jump off the pinnacle of the temple. Wanting God to show up. I got news for you. God was already there. God was already there. And it's not never been my job. It's never been in the Word teaching me that I need to put myself in danger just for God to show up. That's tempting God. And that's what the Bible teaches right here. The next verse, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Satan wants you to doubt God's provision, God's protection, and he wants you to doubt. And I believe this is number one. He wants you to doubt God's promises. Because God's promised you and me something. Look at verse 8. Bible says again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and said unto him, if all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. All Satan wants from you is for you to worship him. All he wants. He wants you and I to bow the knee at him. The whole motive of this temptation was to get Jesus to fall, was to get Jesus to stumble, and it was to get Jesus to bow at Satan's feet. And my job as a Christian is to do what the Lord does. Do what he done. Take him as an example, because the Satan is coming to make you doubt God. And this is what I wrote down. All Satan can offer you is things of this world, nothing that's eternal. Boy, ain't that the truth. He said, I'll give you the whole world. He'll give you the whole world and make you lose your soul. That's what he'll do. He'll make you rich. He'll make you famous. He'll make you prideful. He'll make you awesome. Just to get you to bow that knee. Church, that's not what God wants for you, and that's not what God wants for me. He wants me to come at Satan. He wants me to do what Jesus did. Because the devil is coming at me every single day. And I'm going to leave you with something here. We'll close. Last point. Real quick one, real short one. Number one, the devil comes quickly. The devil comes when I'm weak. The devil comes to make me doubt God. But here's what I want you to grab. The devil comes and goes. Look at me in Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, I'd ask you to turn there. This is the same scripture on Luke's view of it. Same passage, same story with Jesus. It's just Luke talking about it, how he saw it happen. Luke chapter 4, verse number 14. Well, let's move up just a little bit. We'll look at verse 14. See that story right there, and we'll look right here in verse 13. Move up a verse. There we go. We'll look at verse 14 here in just a minute. But verse 13. Satan comes and goes. What does that mean? You know the story. Jesus was tempted three times with provision, with protection, with a promise, and Jesus uses the word of God to rebuke him. And then it says this, and when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him. It doesn't end right there. Departed from him for a season. Man, I can fight the devil. I can use God's word. I'm going to fight. I'm going to do my best to do what God calls me to do, and the devil may leave, but he's coming back. Because the Bible teaches me that he does. Verse 13 says he departed from him for a season. He may leave, but he will come back. And church, that gives me and that gives us an opportunity to be on guard. To don't let my guard down. To not get weak. Why? Because I've got somebody who's always strong. I've got somebody who's strong when I'm weak. I don't have to always be strong if I go to God every time I'm weak. I thank God for that. Man, there's a lot of times in my life I'm just weak. But I thank God I can go to my Savior. I can go to Jesus, and He's the one that's going to fight for me. The Bible teaches me that Satan is going to come, and he's going to go. Kind of recap us this morning. What does Satan do? He comes quickly, comes when you're weak. He comes to make you doubt God, and he comes and goes. And I want to leave you with the question. I want to leave you with something you can go home and practice. How can I defeat Satan? You can't do it on your own. I can't do it on my own. In myself, just me and just you, the devil's stronger. The devil's got more knowledge. So I can't do it on myself. How do I do it then? I use the Lord. I use my Savior. I use the blood that's applied to my life. And I want us to look in Revelation chapter 12. And I'm sure you know that scripture, but we'll look at it. And we'll look at how am I going to defeat the devil. Because this is something I've got to know every single day. Satan's going to come, so how do I defeat him? Revelation chapter number 12. Give us a few things. How do I defeat Satan? And I'm going to start with number one, first and foremost. The blood of Jesus must be applied. Number one, rock solid faith is you must be born again. I've got to have that faith. I've got to have that blood applied to my life. And it tells me here in Revelation chapter number 12, verse 11. They overcame him who? Well, let's go back to verse 9 and see. Verse 9, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren, being Satan, is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. How do I defeat Satan? Number one, the blood. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Do you know whose blood that is? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to earth. He lived a perfect life. He died on the cross that I may be saved. And you know what happened the third day? He got up and he's in heaven and he is Lord over all. And that's the blood you've got to have in your life to ever overcome Satan. I've got to have the blood of Jesus. Number two, I look at that verse. I've got to have the testimony that Jesus provides. Church, you need a testimony. I need a testimony. What does that mean? That God saved me. I'm not going to hell no more. I'm not in the control of the devil because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I've got to have the blood. I've got to have the Lamb. And I've got to have the testimony that Jesus provides. And then we'll look here in Luke chapter 4. We looked at it a while ago. I've got to have the Spirit that Jesus gives. That Spirit. You know what happens when you get born again? The Spirit will come into you. You get promised God on the inside. One of my favorite words in the English language. You hear it a lot during Christmas. But it's the word Emmanuel. God with me. And I take that passage. And I take that word. And I'm thankful. And I think about that Holy Spirit. That when God saved this poor, wretched sinner on the day I asked Him to come into my life, He saved me and He forgave me, but He didn't leave me by myself. He gave me somebody I can fight with. He gave me the Holy Spirit. He gave me God inside of me. Luke chapter number 4, verse number 14. Bible teaches me here I've got to have that Spirit of God. Verse 14, the Bible says, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. The power of the Spirit. That is the power that God gives you and me. Church, I've got no power in myself. You've got no power in yourself. You've got to have the blood applied. You've got to have a testimony. And you've got to have that Holy Spirit living inside of you. Because I'm going to give you something. The devil is coming. No ifs, ands, or buts. In church, the only way you can defeat him and the only way I can defeat him is through Jesus himself. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity we have this morning to worship you, give you praise, give you honor. Lord, I thank you that we're here. Lord, I thank you that the Bible teaches in you we live and move and have our being. Father, I just pray for the next few moments. Lord, if somebody does not have that blood, that they'd ask you into their heart. Father, I pray that you would move. God, I pray your Spirit would be in this place. I pray you would prick that heart that knows they're lost. They need to be born and come to you. I pray we'd go to you when we're weak. Because when we're weak, in you we're strong. Bless this time of invitation, God. May it be honoring to you in Jesus' name. And all God's people say, amen.